Ecclesiastes 6. Since the start of this year, we've been going through Ecclesiastes, and to be honest, it's pretty heavy going, isn't it? You know, it's not easy reading, and oh, that fills you with great joy and happiness. It deals with really, really hard stuff, especially in today's section, chapter 6. Talking about, you know, this, the writer says, I say that the stillborn child is better off than a man who's lived 100 years, but does not enjoy his prosperity. The writer is almost deliberately going to the heart of our pain, to the most gruesome human circumstances, in order to really make his point go home. So, Ecclesiastes 6, I wonder if we can move on to the next slide, Sean. We have a problem as human beings with time. And the problem is that we are in it. And we need to work out our priorities. That's the theme today. How do we order our lives? Next one, please, Sean. And can we understand God's perspective? Because you see, all the 6 chapters of Ecclesiastes up to this point are drumming home to you that if you try and make sense of the universe and your life from you at the center of the universe, it will not make sense. So we have this, you know, all the way through, he's basically saying riches and wealth and prosperity, they make no sense because soon you'll be gone. And today, the writer drives really hard home to a subject that for some of us is very close to our heart. The pain of losing a child. Let's move on. Let's move this across slightly. And the question I want to ask us today is the human way of looking at time and the universe the best way that we can handle our lives? In particular, look at this verse 12. For who knows what is good for a man in life? During the few and meaningless days he passes through like a shadow, who can tell him what will happen under the sun after he is gone? It's almost as though the writer, after 6 chapters, yeah, he's got to the conclusion. You know, trying to understand our existence from the basis of our understanding trapped in time is futile, but perhaps there are some explanations. So I wonder, Sean, if we could move on to one possible answer that I saw 2 weeks ago. Did you catch that at the start? Sean, I wonder if you could play that again so we can catch what the doctor says. Listen very carefully to him. All right, we'll skip over. Okay, he says basically, some people assume that time is a strict progression of events going from cause to effect. But actually, from a non-linear, subjective perspective, it's just a big ball of timey-wimey stuff. Made perfect sense to me. Frankly, I don't think that's a good enough answer, even if it is in Doctor Who. I wonder if we could move on, Sean. Perhaps it's not the right answer. Maybe there's another way that we can think about understanding humans and time. And in order to do this, I want to go back in time, okay? So we're going to go back in time. And to do this, I need your help, okay? Because in order to go back in time, we need some kind of time transference thing. So I'm going to go woo like that. I need you all to go woo like that. And then hopefully we can go back in time to yesterday lunchtime, okay? So let's have a practice, okay? 1, 2, 3, woo! Okay, let's try that. 1, 2, 3, woo! Let's see if it works. Let's go back one day. Can you turn these the lights off, please? It's a funny guy, isn't he? Right. Okay. What if we can take down the lights here? Because then we probably get a slightly better picture. Right. So we've got a mini universe. Okay. Now, I didn't even know that you could still go and buy these things. These are licorice wheels, and they come with a sweet in the centre. And they sort of when you unwrap them, they just go on and on and on, and they're full of licorice. I just want to briefly interrupt our train of thought. Sean, if you can move on to the next slide. Get rid of that smug face there. Just back to the Bible. Look at Ecclesiastes 6. See, Ecclesiastes 6, verses 10 to 12, are the exact center of this whole book. Okay? Sean. And a switch happens in the focus here. So this is almost the last time in the book that we will be concentrating on this. How does life make sense? How can we make sense of life? And before this section, it's almost as though the first six chapters are a search for meaning. How can we make meaning out of life? And after this section is basically advice how to live a life of meaning. But that basically works on the basis that we have finally understood what the meaning of life is. And so in a minute we're going to go back to our visual aid. Now here's what we're trying to solve, okay? Trying to solve is how can we make meaning of a life that seems at times to be completely purposeless. Yes, that's the right word. Totally purposeless. And at times full of, sometimes evil and suffering that make no sense. So let's go back in time. Hold on a minute. Ready? Back to Saturday lunchtime. Ready? Woo! 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 Let's go.
In the same thing. He sees everything at the same time. He knows everything that's going on. However, us human beings, we have a slightly different perspective. You see, for us, time isn't one just big thing. It's a series of events going on and on and on and on. In time, and on and on. In all time, isn't it? And on and on. The only thing time doesn't have is this little sweet in the middle, so just a bit of that. And for our timeline, let's put the most important event in history in the middle. So see, that's the most important event in history. That's the start time. And this is today when I picked up my DVD from the post office. So that's time for us. We're probably around here. And we see things in terms of I'm here and this might happen tomorrow, and that happened a few years ago, so we see things in a series of events. But God sees things all at the same time.
It's clever, isn't he? Right, so, to summarise, does that make sense? We see time, because we are stuck in time, as a series of events. We go from one event to the next, along all of history. However, God sees time differently. He is the creator of time. He stands outside of time. He sees everything at the same time. He has a perspective that we simply do not have or ever will have. So, our perspective of time is utterly different. God sees everything. We only see part of the entirety of history because we are constrained by being inside history. Does that make sense? Good. Right. Let's move on. So why does life at times not make sense at all? Why can we not understand why bad things happen? Because they do. And in this church today, we are a group of people. Some of us have suffered terribly, even in the very, very recent past. We have seen great pain, and we perhaps do not understand why it has happened. Why does it happen? Why do we spend so much time chewing over it? Well, hold on a minute. We're going to illustrate exactly what's going on. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to take a nice big bite out of it. There we go. Fantastic. So you see, I've taken a nice big bite out of the universe. And thankfully, we're about here, our star, so we're fine. But I've taken a nice big bite out of the universe. Now, Gail, what if you could transport that backwards one day further to Friday? So all of us, we all now have to turn towards Gail, because we have to transport that licorice wheel back one further day. So everybody point towards Gail and go, woo, woo, woo. Fantastic.
Hello again. It's 4:30, so that's 2 days ago. You don't believe me, I'm looking at the clock. Yeah, it's definitely 4:30. We haven't even played around with the clock. It's 4:30. Oh no. If I could have that universe that you've used 2 days ago, that universe, sorry. So, here's that universe that Peter's taken a bite into. Now, look what happened when we unravel it. You see, from the perspective of God, that makes sense. That's the universe that we've just taken a bite out of. But from a human perspective, let's see what happens when we unravel it. I'm glad I got a bit missing there, so let's get the next bit. There it is. And here's the next bit. And you get a foot in here, right? And so on. Now, if I was to ask you, if you were there in the timeline, to explain this, you wouldn't have a clue. But actually, it makes perfect sense to us on Sunday morning. We can see exactly what this is, because we've got an overall perspective of the mini-universe. We can see that it's just a mini-universe with a bite taken out of it. That makes perfect sense. But when you look at it in terms of a single timeline, you can't tell that. It's just a series of breaks in the chain. You can't tell what caused that. And we're a bit like that as human beings. See, our perspective, even though we're the pinnacle of God's creation, is limited. We can only see bits of God's plan. We can only make small bits of sense from it. Yes, God has revealed certain things to us. They are absolute truths. They don't change. But as it were, the day-to-day running of God's universe, from our perspective, doesn't make sense. The things that have happened in it, we only see from our perspective and they don't fit together. When you see them all from God's perspective, it all makes sense.
Thank you. Can I have the mini universe back, please? There we go. Lovely. Thank you. It's amazing how we can transport a piece of confectionery 2 days back in time and then forward again. That's amazing. Did that make sense? Nolan, did that make sense? Our problem is we don't have the big picture. We cannot see from our limited human perspective all that God is doing. We cannot understand why God is doing certain things. We are human. Okay, let's move on. You see, Ecclesiastes chapter 6, verses 10 to 12, finishes off the argument that as a human, you cannot fully understand what God is doing in the world and what his purposes are. You can have glimpses, you can see bits of it, but the whole picture will not make sense to you. The good and the bad. And I say this, I say this, you know, with compassion, say I'm not saying here that that's okay. I'm not saying that when bad things happen, we should just kind of gloss over them. What I'm simply saying is that if we go to God and demand an answer from him for the entirety of our existence and those around him, we will not get the answer. It's as though in six chapters, the writer of Ecclesiastes has said, you've got to reconcile yourself to this. You are not God and you will not understand his purposes. So what is the solution to our human existence with this lack of knowledge of what is happening in the universe? Well, very simply, the writer of Ecclesiastes says, live each day as though God is in charge and not you. That's basically where he has got to. He says, when you wake up in the morning, do not strive for yourself at the center of the universe, but put God at the center of the universe. And this is what most classical spiritual direction in Christianity has been doing for 2,000 years. They have recognized this. They have understood that discipleship is to surrender oneself to God, to simply put God at the center of the universe. It is the core of the classic sort of Roman Catholic spirituality. It is the core of the Reformed tradition of which we are part of. It is saying God is the center of the universe. And do you know what? I am never going to make sense of everything. But as I gaze upon God, perhaps it will become clearer slowly. It's part of the monastic tradition. Sean. So our priority is simply this, is to trust God and to let him make sense of it, the good and the bad, and to wait upon him. Now, a little personal story. About 8, 9 years ago, but my godfather died very suddenly, and I learnt at about 2 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon, and I went off to church, and I was just beginning to, sort of in my walk with God, I was just beginning to explore this idea that God was in charge, and that I simply needed to just let him, you know, go to him. Now, my godfather was an expert woodsman, and he used to go every spring into the mountains in Austria and pick the herbs and the mushrooms, and he could tell, you know, bad stuff from good stuff. And they used to, there was this a particular herb that they would go and pick, and that they would just turn into a tea, and it was had great, you know, sort of stuff in it. But if you got it wrong, then you would pick the stuff that would kill you. And on this morning, he went with his stepson, and they went and they picked the herbs, and they thought that they had the right ones. And 6 hours later, he was dead of a massive heart attack. And do you know what? All the kind of things that were going through me were, firstly, why hadn't I sent him a birthday card for his birthday? Because now it was too late. Why had God let him pick the wrong herbs? He'd spent 20 years of his life away from God. In the last 12 months of his life, he'd come back to Jesus. He was part of the local Roman Catholic Church. He was growing in his faith, and suddenly he was gone. And there's all these kind of things. And I went along to church, and I lasted about 10 seconds before I burst into tears with a friend there. And my friend said to me, "You know what you have got to do? You have got to worship God. You have got to just put God at the center of the universe, because if you ask God for an explanation, he may not give it to you. If you rack yourself with guilt about not having communicated more or done this, it will destroy you. You need to put God." So in church I just spent, and this was it was, you know, we had started off a service with like 4 or 5 songs, and I just the first song I could not worship. I was stood there with tears streaming down my face. The second song, I could just about word a few of the words. By the third song, I was forcing myself to raise my hands in worship and to sing the word. And let me tell you, it was transformational. Because I put God at the center. I chose that despite what had happened, despite my guilt and my misunderstanding and my anger towards God, I chose to put him at the center. I chose to make him the priority, and it transformed me that evening. It literally transformed me. Let's move on. We need to live a life that acknowledges God at the center of it, despite the good and the bad. We need to not turn away from God and blame you and say, well, if you're a good God, then that wouldn't have happened. What we've seen today is that we simply cannot understand why some things happen. And that's just simply how it is. I did a funeral a few months ago for a boy who was 4 years old. And do you know what? When I went to the family for the first time, and they said to me, why did this happen? I didn't come up with some nice, you know, carefully crafted theological argument, you know, detailing why good and bad. I said, I do not know. And do you know, almost a year later, I do not know. I do not know. But I said to them, and I preached at the funeral, I said, we just need to put God at the center. Move on. We need to let God explain to us in his time, if he wills, what is going on in our life. Because the key of our relationship with God is not understanding everything, it is being in that relationship. Does that make sense? If you go to God and say, right, God, I want you to tick all these boxes so that I understand why my life is the way it is. That's not what God is doing. If you go to God and you say, I want to gaze at you, I want to see you, I just want to grow this relationship, I want to let you be God, then we begin to grow. Sean, look at this clip again and watch what the girl does at the end. You see, we have two options when we live as human beings in the world and things that happen to us and to other people around us, good or bad, do not make sense. The first option is that we can switch off God. We can say to God, do you know what? I want to know. I want to be in charge. And therefore, if you're not going to tell me, if you're not going to make sense, if you're not going to run the universe how I want it to be run, I'm going to have nothing to do with you. That's the first option. The second option is what the writer of today's psalm says right at the end. You see, his plea to God at the end isn't, Lord, justify me in front of these evil people so that they would see that I'm right and they're wrong. He doesn't say, Lord, punish them. Punish them for what they've done and make sure that I can see it and understand that in fact you're in charge and it all comes out well in the end. He doesn't say to God, Lord, give me riches and wealth and power so that I know that you do prosper those who bless you. What is his final words to God in the psalm? It's simply this. And I, in righteousness, I shall see your face. When I awake, I shall be satisfied with seeing your likeness. The writer of Ecclesiastes, over six chapters, over half a year now, as we've preached through it, has brought us to this point to tell us unconditionally, as a human being, you will not make sense of God's universe. If you attempt to make yourself or your understanding of the universe the center of your world, it will not make sense. But someone who gazes into God and says, do you know what, God, I don't understand this horrible thing that has happened to me, but I want to keep you at the center of my universe. That person is the one who understands who he is in the grand scheme of things. That despite the fact that there are bits missing, as it were, as we saw in our licorice wheel, despite the fact that there are bits missing, does not gaze forwards and backwards along that line of time, but rather gazes up and says, I will let God be God. And that is our priority. That is our priority as Christians, as those who know God, is to, after all the searching, after all the crying, after all the celebrating, is to turn back to God and to say to him, you are God, I am not, and I will live my life accordingly. And so for the rest of the years we go through Ecclesiastes, go home, read it again. You'll see that the focus now switches. What does a life gazing at God rather than gazing backwards and forwards trying to make sense? What does a life like that look like? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are good, that you are holy, that you are loving. But though we do not understand why things happen in the world around us, why we are affected by evil and sin and sadness, you are in control. Lord, help us to trust you. Help us in our moment of darkness to lift our face towards you and say, Lord, I simply want to wake up seeing you. And Lord, as we discover what it is to be true disciples, grow us in our faith and grow us in our understanding of why you have placed us here in this place at this time. Amen.